right, Joshua chapter 5. As you're turning to Joshua chapter 5, let me remind you, Miss Ruth is having knee replacement surgery, this coming Tuesday. Worn out one, so they're going to give her a brand new one. So please be much in prayer for her. Also, Whitney is going to be going into the hospital this evening and induced either today or tomorrow. And we're surely going to be praying for her and all excited about that new baby. Amen. And Christy and Seth had their little baby. Jacob Peyton is his name. So continue to pray. We got more babies on the way and thrilled about every single one of them. Amen. I talked to one of the mothers this morning. I said, you only got one. You know, we're recycling this thing and you're supposed to do this thing again. She said, shut up, leave me alone. And she took off. I said, don't be scared. Do it while you can. See, I'm thinking of return out on the other end. The more I got, the more that'll take care of me. My boy said, Dad, we're just going to put you down down the basement and throw you a biscuit every once in a while. Yeah, I hope it's got some gravy on it, LJ. That's right. But such a blessing to see all of you here. Thank you, sir. All right. Hope you enjoyed your Christmas holiday. We went to a church down in South Carolina. And it was very cultured, you know, kind of highbrow. And good people, good service, but they had an elderly man that spoke. And he was kind of raw bone. You could tell he had a little homespun about him. He didn't care. He was just oblivious to all that dignifiedism that he was being exposed to. And I was riding there with him. Me and a black man were the only ones that were saying amen, but I was having fun. And he said, I had visited a church just prior to the week coming there, and he said, I preached him. Just one of those messages, I had to get a burden off my heart. And I'm saying, I can identify with that. And he said, it went a little bit over. And he said, everybody was really nice when they went out. This one little kid came through and shook his hand, looked at him, said, why'd you stay up there so long? And I said, what's the name of this church? But I'm thankful that there's more people than just myself that kind of stretch the limit sometimes. So we are glad you're here, looking forward to what God's going to say to us today. I don't know about you, but I need my heart spoken to today. Amen. Joshua chapter 5, pick up in verse 1. Now, how many of you know that Joshua was the son of Nun? That means he had no parents. Okay? I just want to make sure you're awake this morning. Some of you will figure that out later. Joshua chapter 2, verse 1 says, Joshua was the son of Nun. Verse 1, chapter 5, and it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel, until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them any more because of the children of Israel. At the time the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise against the children of Israel the second time. Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. And all the people that came out were circumcised. But all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war which came out of Egypt were consumed because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land which the Lord sware unto their fathers that he would give us a land that floweth with milk and honey. God had given the children of Israel a promise. He said, I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you a land that flows with milk and honey. Now, how many of you in this room do you want that for this new year? I mean, how many of you would like for God just to answer a prayer that you've been praying for years? You know, I'm praying for my children. My wife and I prayed in our new year. We've said, Lord, we want this to be the year of destiny. I mean, I want God to pull back the blinders. I want him to do some things that only he can do. I want to see God work in the hearts of my kids. I want to see my children, and it's not that they're bad kids, but we all have kids, amen? Children and grandchildren. And some of them are not where they need to be or where we want them to be or where it's expected them to be. But I do know this, that God can answer prayer. Amen? And I'll be honest with you. I'm getting impatient. I want to see God do something now. I want to see him do something now where I can enjoy it. Although that answer to prayer might not come in my lifetime. I think about Hank Parker when he was here years ago and shared his testimony. How his dad had such a burden to see his boys come to know the Lord that he was on a missions trip. And on the way back from that missions trip, he told the men that were in the vehicle with him. He said, I prayed this week that whatever it took to see God work in the hearts of my boys, I was willing to do it. They had a car accident on the way home from that missions trip, and that man died. But you know when Hank Parker and his brother got saved? At his dad's funeral. Now, I don't know what it's going to take, friends. But I do know this. I know there's a God in heaven that's got a heart bigger than you and I can ever imagine. And God had given to them a promise. And blessed their dear, sweet hearts because of their murmuring and griping and complaining. For 40 years they wandered in the wilderness and all of them were circumcised. They had the advantages, that significant, that sign of purity, so to speak, in their lives. It was a covenant. It was a signification of a covenant between them and God. And they had that. But the males that were born in that 40 years were not circumcised. And so there was still that issue, that rite of purification, that religious rite in their life. There might be issues in our hearts today that God's going to put his finger on. He's going to deal with us. Because I don't know about you, but there's always room for improvement. Amen? And I think of this new year. If we want to see God answer prayer, we want to see him do some things tremendously. I mean, we're in the midst of a building program. We got in bids this week, and we're in the process of bringing all that to you. It's going to take a collective effort. It's a family issue. Now, God can take care of it any way he wants to. I don't know how he's going to do it. I mean, I look at figures and shake and shiver. But I do know this, God's supernatural. And I do know this, that he's going to require something of you and I to be faithful to do what he puts in our hearts to do. And that's not always easy, is it? I don't know about you, but sometimes just dealing with this old wicked flesh, it's tough. It's hard. Are y'all with me today? Amen. Some of you look at me like, all right. But we need to see something happen. Children of Israel have made some grave mistakes. There's always the consequences of wrongdoing. And in my heart, my determination this year is to do the right thing, no matter what it costs, because I want to see some specific answers to prayer. Verse 7, children of, and their children whom he had raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised them by the way. Came to pass when they had done circumcising all the people that they abode in their places in the camp to wear whole. The Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. The children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month, at even in the plains of Jericho. They did eat of the old corn to the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. Title of the message this morning is On the Brink of a Miracle. Now, little did they know of what they were going to be facing in the days to come. But you and I have the privilege of being able to read ahead and see what happens. But God had already performed a miracle because they had crossed the Jordan on dry ground. That's a miracle in itself. That the Lord took them across, and here they are on the other side of Jordan as God parted those waters and proved himself to be mighty and given to them a promise that he was going to give them a land that flowed with milk and honey. Friends, there are thousands of promises within this book right here. Thousands that God gives to you and I, which covers a multitude of things, things that we face in life, that we can trust him for in the future, that just taking him upon his word. But where we are right now and where they are right now, we got to understand that there's some things that we need to work through. For every person in this room, if you want your life to be different and changed in this new year, there are going to be some requirements. There are going to be some things you're going to have to face and confront in your life, some barriers that you got to bring, that you've got to deal with and break through. So first of all, we're going to look at the challenges to face. The first one is resources are going to be dealt with. Now, I don't know about you, but the older I get, I enjoy the comfort zone. I don't like changes. How many of you don't like changes? I mean, we're snug as a bug in a rug when everything's going just right. That's where they were. They were comfortable. Now, mind you, there had been a leadership exchange. I mean, they were comfortable with Moses. Now, they had their times, but they were comfortable with the fact that God had a man that they trusted to a degree, because they didn't always get what they wanted. And, you know, when they didn't get everything they wanted, they went after him. That's just part of a leader. Sometimes you got to have somebody to shoot at, and who's ever in front of you, that's the one to get shot. We got to understand that there are going to be changes, some things that are going to, God's going to put his finger on in our life. I remember when I took the church in Tennessee, their pastor had been there almost 50 years. He was a mainstay in the community. He was one of the richest men in that place. His secretary told me, she said, I can't tell you how many times that he would tell me to go to the bank and get $1,000 or $1,500 worth of 20s, and he'd go downtown Chattanooga and hand out $20 bills and tell people about Jesus. I said, well, all I can do is take a handful of tracks and go downtown Chattanooga and hand them out. I can't give the $20 bills, but that's where he was. Church never paid him a salary. He didn't need it. When I went there, I said, I'll be praying for y'all because I wish I could, but I can't. There are going to be times, listen, and he died in surgery. He had back surgery. Nobody was expecting that. And when the surgeon came out and said, he's gone, that place was in pandemonium. I walked in the middle of that. They're looking to me to be the go-to person to fix their problem. And friends, I was limited and still limited today in what I could do. That was just something that we as a church had to walk through in a time of healing. There are going to be situations in your life and my life where God's going to put his finger on some old habits. He's going to challenge us in some areas that we're very comfortable in. But may I remind you that unless we're willing to deal with those things as God brings them before us, we're never going to get in to what God has. They had the Jordan River behind them and Jericho in front of them. The resources that God puts his finger on. I read a statistic. I'm reading a book by David Jeremiah the other day, or started it back before Christmas. Statistics that came in for 2015. And this is a statistic from one of the largest or the largest online pornographic site. That in 2015, 4,392,486,580 hours of viewing pornographic material was recorded. They said it was recorded that over 87 billion X-rated movies were watched in 1 year. Somebody did the math on it. That's 12 videos for every man, every woman, every boy, every girl on planet Earth. 12 videos within a year. Now, friends, that's just a simple little statistic that tells me we got big problems. That's only one issue. In your bulletin today, there's a flyer concerning human trafficking. 5,000 plus girls, boys, individuals sold into human trafficking. Biggest reason, 70-some percent, has to do with sex. I mean, we're living in a wicked world. And sadly to say that many times that spills over into our lives. And I can tell you this, if you're going to walk with God and you want to get into Canaan and get into everything that God has for you, he's going to want to put his finger on some of those things that we're very comfortable with, that are appeasing our flesh, that are doing something for us that really we should not be indulging ourselves in. There's a host of things. I mean, I'm going to tell you, I'm thankful I'm 60, and I'm sure thankful I'm not 15, 20, 25 years old. And my heart goes out to you young people and the things that you're going to face in the days to come. Thank God, I hope we got some changes on the brink of a new year that are going to help our country. Because we're in a mess. But I do know this. As being on the brink of a miracle and knowing that the Jordan River is behind us and the fortress of Jericho is in front of us, which is a huge figure, my friends. And if we want to get through to get into Canaan and see God do some of those things supernatural, there are going to be some things he's going to require of us. Secondly, as we look to the future, retreating is no longer an option. Now, going back over the Jordan River and the mass that it was, and the banks were overflowing at this particular time of the year, it was a whole lot easier to go over on dry ground than it was to go back. One of the things I've learned in Christianity, sometimes you need to burn some bridges behind you. Can somebody say amen? Sometimes you just got to put some things in the past. How many of us in this room are still living in the past? We're still embracing the things of yesteryear. And when those children of Israel crossed over, they had to leave all the memories of 40 years of their parents and grandparents wandering around in the wilderness and saying, we want what God has for us. We hate that those things happened, and we hate that that generation died in the wilderness, and they didn't get in to Canaan. But we can't allow ourselves to stay here. We've got to break through some of those barriers because we want to see God do some of the things that only he can. How many of us in this room are deeply disturbed, and I don't want to see a show of hands, but how many of us in this room are deeply disturbed over some people in our lives and their station in life and where they are and some of the situations that we're facing in this new year, and you're saying, preacher, by God's grace, I want it to change. And I know that God can. You got to be willing to let God deal with the resources in your life that are frustrating that. Secondly, you got to understand that retreating is no longer an option. You know what? That generation needed a separation from the past. I can't do anything about what's happened, what's going on yesterday. I can tell you what, friends, I can surely do something about tomorrow. Thirdly, resistance is going to come. Now, I mean, thank God, God performed a miracle to get them over the Jordan River. Man, that was cool. Wouldn't you love to have been around some of those times? Man, that'd be neat, wouldn't it? But then you got Jericho in front of you. You see, Jericho was a fortified city. Some statistics say that the walls, that there was a primary wall and a secondary wall. And then the primary wall was over between 20 and 26 feet high. Had two different sections to it. That the base of it was at least 6 feet wide. And that city was entrenched and fortified. And you know where it was? Right in front of the very entrance into Canaan. And they couldn't go around it, couldn't go up over it, couldn't go through it. There was only one thing for them to do. Trust God. Young people, what are you trusting God to do this year? What kind of changes do you want to see him bring to your life? How many married couples in here are sick and tired of being sick and tired? And you want to see something happen. Oh, preacher, if God just changed my wife, hallelujah. Lord, if you see it within your heart to change my husband, you know what I've learned? Before I'll ever see a change in her, I got to see a change in me. 9 times out of 10, men, I hate to tell you this, but a lot of times what we get from our wife is nothing more than a reaction from our actions. Can I get an amen and a witness? Yeah. And we didn't want to hear that, did we? And that will be used, I'm sure, down the road. My wife's got a memory like an elephant. She can call things up that happened 20 years ago. And said, do you remember exactly what you said and the facial expression that you had? And I can tell you exactly where we were when you said it. I said, honey, I can't even remember what happened yesterday. So what I've learned to do is say, you're exactly right and I'm wrong. But come on, friends. How many of us want to see God do something? Man, I want to see my kids walking with God. I want to see God in this great opportunity that we've got. And I want to tell you, when I first came here, before I even came here, all I heard about was a building program that we want to believe God to put up a building. But I tell you, this is going to take a collective effort for it to happen. Unless somebody here wants to write the check, amen, we'll take it. And if you win the lottery, we'll take that too. Amen. But I think God's looking for people that are willing to let God x-ray our hearts and do something in us to get us in a position of belief and expectation as this generation of children said, hey, listen, whatever it takes, we want to get into Canaan. Now, I don't sense that hunger sometimes in God's people. We've reduced ourselves many times to just old status quo. That if we slide in by the seat of our pants, hallelujah. I'm not happy with that. Because I want to see it happen before I die. What is it that you cannot live without in this new year? What is it that you cannot give up, that you've got a burning desire in your heart to see God do? If you could give God your wish list right now, what would it be? What would it be? And there's going to be opposition. People are going to say, well, it can't be done. If you're going to get into Canaan, you've got to go through the means of Jericho. It's just got to happen. And that's a good place. It's a good place to be. Fourthly, responsibilities are to be embraced. Now, I can imagine that here was a generation of older people, older guys, not older, and I try to be careful with that word because that can be very broad at times, but a generation that had not been circumcised. Now, I don't dare think that everybody was like, hey, hi, dog, yeah, I'm all for this. I don't think that was the feeling of everybody. But it had to be done because it was a religious rite. It was symbolism of an agreement between the children of Israel and God. And I'm thinking, Lord, if it had been me, I surely could think up something a little different than this. Amen. Something a little better than this. But that was God's plan. So here they are in the wilderness. Here they are. God's saying, okay, this is what we got to do. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time just going to the doctor. Amen? Or I hate the dentist. Any dentist in here? I don't hate you. I just don't like the procedures. As a little kid, I never knew they had Novocaine. I didn't find out they had Novocaine until they pulled my tooth when I was 21 years old. I said, well, you guys have been doing me all these years. I mean, when I was a little kid, you get in any grave hole and just hang on for dear life. And I felt like that thing was shooting through the top of my head. Nobody ever told me they could numb my jaw. I didn't know all about that. Maybe that's why I have such a hard time with it. But this generation had to be circumcised. And I think it's example to you and I that there are times that God's got to cut away at the flesh. I don't like that. It goes back to the first point and some of those resources in life and some of those things, some of those hidden things that we've got in our lives, some of the things we've got tucked away in our closet, some of those things that bring a sense of fulfillment to us. There was a spirit of rebellion and pride that he had to deal with. That's an area of flesh that needs to be cut away. How many of us in this room struggle with pride? We're proud people. You don't believe me, just ask me. In fact, I wrote a book about it. The book is 10 Most Humble People in the World, How I Met the Other Nine. And how many of us in this room struggle with obedience? How quick are you to obey the Lord when he speaks to you to go do something? My dad always said, son, you're hard-headed, thick-headed, and you just flat don't obey. That hasn't changed a whole lot, and I'm not proud of it. But some of us in this room struggle with defiance. I don't want to give in. Some of you this morning have already put your guards up. And there's a sense of resistance. Preacher, I ain't going but so far. And can I tell you something? You will not get into Canaan and get what God's got for you and the best that he has for you if you're going to have that resistance. You need to let the Spirit of God take the knife of the cross, my friends, and tear into your flesh and my flesh and get it all on the altar where there is a sense of victory in our lives. That I get into Canaan. And when it's all said and done and the dust is settled, I can stand before the Lord and knowing that God granted to me those things that he wanted me to have and that I was not a hindrance to his moving in my heart and life. I don't know what you've got to get on the altar this morning, but I can tell you this, friends, if you want to get into Canaan, you're going to have to deal with the Jerichos in your life, and they're bigger than life. But you'll never get victory until you're willing to confront those issues. You'll never see it. And this generation could have died between Jordan and Jericho. And there are a lot of people that do. There are a lot of people that never see what God has for them. I mean, how many people do we know that have just wasted their lives? I've stood beside caskets of people that died such a miserable death. At a funeral one time, they only had two people there. Lasted 10 minutes, and they were bored to death. Get me out of here. It sure is hot. Are you finished? That's pretty bad. Come on, friends. What do you want this new year? When the end of 2017 rolls around, don't cop an attitude towards God because he didn't do what you wanted. I firmly believe that he'll do what you want him to do if you'll do your part. The problem is we get hung up between Jordan and Jericho, and then we want to fuss and gripe and complain. And I want to remind you, that's why a generation died out there in the wilderness for 40 years. Because they tried to tell God what to do and what was best for them. And we're still shucking and jiving and pushing and thanking God that he's debted to you and I. What do you want him to do this year? Hey, young people, what is it that you want to see God do? Parents, what do you want to see God do in the hearts and lives of your children? Church, what do you want to see God do in this community? I want to see the Lord raise this church up as a lighthouse in this community that people that are lost, that are lost in darkness, and groping in darkness, that they can find the truth. They can come to the light of the Lord Jesus and experience freedom in their lives and be able to enjoy God. Man, that's a blessing, isn't it? But we will not see that if we get hung between Jordan and Jericho. We've got to face the issues. A.W. Tozer said the reason why many are still troubled, still seeking, still making little forward progress is because they haven't yet come to the end of themselves. How many of us in this room are so sick of ourselves, we're willing to do whatever has to be done to get victory? When I hit an altar 16, 17 years ago and I said, God, take me to the cross. I didn't know what I was asking for. But I knew that's what I needed. And God began to put his finger on this area of my life and that area of my life. And when I would submit it to him and surrender to it and agree with him and the leadership of his spirit, you know what he'd do? He'd put it on something else. And you know what he's been doing for the last 17, 18 years? He's still doing it. And I think maybe I graduated from spiritual kindergarten a couple years ago. I think. And I don't ever want to lose a hunger in my heart to see some things happen. Some of you look at me sometimes when I make those statements of I really want to see God do something supernatural before I die. But I really do want to see it. Every time I ride to Lynchburg, I'm reminded of a man that was a dreamer that believed God to do the impossible. And that hillside in Lynchburg is lit up with the power of God. And I don't live in the light of that. My focus is not on him. My focus is on Jesus. But I do tell the Lord every once in a while, okay, God, you did it for him. You do a little something for us. I mean, all we ask for is a little piece of asphalt. We don't want the whole road. We just want a little piece. And I want it for you guys. Because I pray with some of you, and I pray for your children, and I pray for your relationships. And I want some of you to experience real victory in your life. When I'm dead and gone, I don't want people to say, man, what a pastor. I want people to say, man, what a God. There's one thing that my life does is point you to him. Because I can't help you but so much. I'm very limited. But I'm talking about a God that can supernaturally do something for you. But for some in this room, you got to get out of the way. There's some men in this room, you need to kick out of the cave. You got to be willing to put your hand to the plow spiritually. I don't know much about being a leader. I don't know much about being a spiritual leader. I don't know much about being a husband and a father. But I do know this. God will give you what you need when you need it. Been many a times that I've had to say, Lord, you're going to have to give me something because I can be dumb as an ox sometimes. I'm not a creative person. I like being in my little box. And sometimes I like being in my box all by myself. And I don't want pictures, and I don't want thrills and frills and plants and all those things in my little box. I just want what I want when I want it. You guys with me? But sometimes God wants to come to that box, and he wants to disrupt it all because he's wanting to lay that knife of the cross. It flesh in my life and cut away those things that are disastrous in my relationship with him. Because he's got a bigger plan. He's got a Canaan on the other side. A land that flows with milk and honey. How many of you can taste it? How many of you are hungry for it? How many of you are thirsting for it? How many of you are willing to do whatever needs to be done to get it? And you got such a belief in your heart. Man experienced shipwreck. He made his way to a deserted island. Had a few things that washed in. He built himself a little hut. And just what smarts he had, he was able to do some things and construct that little hut. He was able to build fires and do things of that nature. But he's just on that little island all by himself. One day he saw a ship. And so he got some wood and got some kindling together and he started a little fire. The ship just kept going. And he thought to himself, what am I going to do? I don't want to die on this island as a desert. You know, this island that's deserted. I want to get back to home. Well, lo and behold, he didn't realize that the embers off that fire had set his little hut on fire. And now it was a whole lot bigger fire and a whole lot of smoke. But he saw that big ship turn and began to make its way back to him. And they came and got him and they rescued him. But before they got to him, he said, God, what am I going to do? I've lost everything. What little I had was in that hut, and now it's burned. It's gone. Friends, sometimes we got to sacrifice the whole that we might be rescued from the things of this world, that we might gain the greater victory. There are some things in your life and my life we need to let go of today because we're stuck between Jordan and Jericho. And don't ever cave into the fact that you think it's just always going to be this way. Because it doesn't have to be. But open your heart up to the things that God wants to show you and the things that he wants to do for you. I love the rest of this passage, and we'll get into that next week. But I love verse 13 where it says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand." You know who that was? That was Jesus. That was an Old Testament appearance of Christ. That God dispatched the strong angels because here was a people that said, whatever it cost, if we got to be circumcised, we got to make the tough decisions, we got to face the opposition, we're willing to do whatever needs to be done because we want victory. And we'll not settle for anything less than that. As you dream today, what is it you want to see God do? For some in this room, it might just be salvation that you need to yield your heart to him. As God plows through your heart today, are there some people in here today that need to put some things on the altar? You need to quit sinning. You need to quit allowing yourselves to be involved and exposed to some things in this world because you recognize that it is destructive to your spiritual health. And you're not going to grow unless you deal with those things. I don't know where you are. But I do know this. If we're going to see victory, it's going to cost us something. With heads bowed and eyes closed. Luis, have you slipped to the keyboard and just began to play? Or some dreamers in this room today? Are there some people that look to the future and look to the horizon? We have a heart of expectation and belief that God wants to do something supernatural, and he's put that burning desire in my heart. And so I want to come to the altar this morning and just lay it all out before him. What are some things you need to let go of in this new year? Some expectations, a spirit of pride, spirit of fear. Preacher, I'm fearful when I look to the future, what's going to happen. Preacher, I'd love to come put my kids on the altar, but I'm scared of something might happen to them. What about that spirit of pride that something just rises up within you and you're in that battle right now? Because there's a part of you that's saying you need to yield and surrender, but there's another part of you saying, I refuse to do it. I will not. You need to come this morning in the spirit of humility and say, by God's grace, I'll lead. I'll take your leadership, Lord, and I'll follow it if it costs me my life. Would you stand right now with heads bowed and eyes closed? If God's spoken to your heart, would you come? We'll be here at the altar to pray with you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand right now? Come, the altar is available. There's something you need to lay down before God.